The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Audio Frontier.
This is Football Daft with Stephen Purden.
Midfield dynamo and average actor.
Chris Toll.
Target man, suspicious character.
And
be the top end of Stevenson.
Welcome to Football Daft. My name's Stephen Purden, and let's welcome your starting lineup this week. First, a man who's thinking of leaving the podcast to form his own Super Football Daft. See what I've done there? It's Chris Toll.
If only.
Never know, mate. Never know what I mean. Never know.
Listen, tired.
Do you know what? I would love it because I wouldn't need to talk about fucking Celtic to use to anymore. It's hurting my heart. It really is.
We will talk about your beloved Celtic soon because I think we should touch on it again. Just to, I know you're tired of that, mate, and Gado's right, saying you're tired, and I know you've just woke up. For all the listeners out there, Toll was on the night shift and he woke up literally 7 minutes ago and he's very tired, but he's here to tell the tale because he is a fucking badass motherfucker, man.
Professional motherfucker.
Aye. And next, a man who has been accosting men sleeping on park benches. It is Grado. Grado, what are you doing, man?
What are you saying to you? He's all right, boys.
What's been happening? People sleeping on park benches?
Aye, I told you about it, didn't I? I'm just so awkward. Everybody thinks that when they talk to me, they don't realise I'm actually a bit shy. See when I bump into folk, I'm the worst at creating conversation. I met a guy.
You have this energy.
Aye, why? What is that? I fucking hate that about myself.
You remind me of like different comedians I've worked with in the past, right? See, comedians, they're all very, live on their nerves. They're very, I don't know, everyone's very, I can't put my finger on it. They're they're like I always say, a bit of nerve with eyes.
Oh, mate, I'm a nerve eyes. I'm a total.
You are a wee bit comedian like that way. You've got nervous energy about you.
Just the boy that, I was walking the dog in the park and I saw a guy that I used to hang about with years ago, big guy, older than me. He's a little older than me. And I saw him and he was lying in a park bench catching some sun rays. I was walking the dog and he turned around and I realised that I'm now like, how you doing, mate? And he's going, how you doing? I didn't know what to say, so I just went, hey, I wouldn't mind jumping up and lying on that bench next to you. Wee man.
Wee man.
And he went, Baron. The way you put your face palms at, what the fuck would I say that for?
You know,
I was getting on, why is he lying up at bench?
I'm exactly the same, grade though. I had to dug it the other day, right? And I was only across the road from my house, and there was this lassie come round with a wee golden retriever puppy, right? And she walked over and she's like, oh, hello. You know that people are like when they see a dog, oh, hello, how you doing? And my dog, for some reason, now keeps on going to sniff other dogs' willies, right? I went, oh, keep him away, he's Bobby Daft. To a fucking stranger.
That's what I done with, the guy up the park, man. Not the woman up the park. And he's, what was it I said again?
There was a group of women in the park.
He said that he was enjoying the company of the female dogs.
He's lovely because I've got a boy dog and it ran amongst these wee dogs and this woman went, oh, he's enjoying the attention from the ladies, enjoying the female attention. I went, he's the horniest guy I've ever met without a pair of boys or something like that. And she's like, what? And I'm going, what the fuck with they done?
See, I think of this story right now. There's so many layers that's not been touched on. Why is the guy lying on a park bench, right? He's got problems, right?
he had a couple of wains running about my nose, so I think he had so I think he was like just kind of chilling out, and the wains were just
lying on the bench. He was like, "Is in my head, I've got, do you know what I mean, Toll? Remember about the wheels going back to the future?" That's what I've got in my head now. When the fucking DeLorean comes back and he comes up with the papers and all that, I've got that guy in my head, man.
I don't know if they were his wains, but he was a drummer back in the day, so.
I'll just, he's now like a fucking babysitter, man. He just takes away so
far. I like a dog walker except for Wayne.
Yeah, anyway, man, what else?
So let's talk about football, boys.
I think John needs to talk about football first.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
We will get to that.
But what has been happening in football? No much, but hey, a few wee things this week, a few wee things, right? But before we talk about Super League and all that jazz, let's talk about the Old Firm. But remember, first, the Old Firm, you can catch up with on our full podcast on Rangers Daffy, Celtic Daff, which is available at patreon.com/footballdaff. But let's get a wee quick analysis, guys. Toll, how are you doing? Talk us
quick analysis.
Not too quick. Like you can let your feelings spin on.
Right. I feel let down, and my quick analysis is Celtic are fucking garbage. There you go. That's as quick as it's going.
Redo.
What's that? Rangers are just the best team in Scotland, innit? We just don't need to come out of second.
Wait a minute, John Kennedy's already told you Celtic are the best team in Scotland.
Oh, listen, by the way, I was so nervous about that game. So were you, Bob.
Oh, aye.
So, actually, hang on, listen. I was like, you're going to fucking win me, brother.
It's what makes us feel better, though.
Aye, because you could see Toll having a wee spring in his step again.
Aye, he was standing. There was a few folk like that, by the way.
That's not a spring in my step, mate. That's a limp.
Staying there, sure. And I said to the guy, I said to Bob, when the team's going out, I got a wee bit nervous about Aribo because he hadn't played well in previous Old Firms and I just wasn't sure.
Aye, you'll not be fucking nervous about him again, will you? Brilliant.
Brings me on to have a wee chat about friends of the show. And co-managers David McCracken and Lee Miller have left the club the day after the Bairns were knocked off the top of Scottish League One. Sporting director Gary Holt, the former Falkirk Livingston boss, will take interim charge until the summer. After losing to Peterhead on Tuesday, Falkirk host Cove Rangers on Saturday, both sides 2 points behind leaders Partick Thistle. John, hello darkness, my old friend.
It's been... I'm no beat around the bush. It's been horrible. See, the football the last few months has been absolutely horrible. We've picked up, I think it's 11 points in 10 games.
Not good enough, John. It's not good enough.
We should have been absolutely cantering that league. We had the opportunity to canter the league and we fucked it. Now, obviously, Lee and Cracks are pals of the show and I'm gutted for them. Because obviously, it's always the managers that go, but the players haven't been doing it for them. They really haven't. And as we all know, it's a results-driven business.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you know, they didn't seem to know what they were doing. Like, they kept setting up in different ways and trying different things, and it was...
You think there was a power struggle between Big Sexy and Cracks?
I don't think so, but, I mean, you know, it's like, when have co-managers ever worked, you know?
As we were saying off air before we started, I think the only time I can remember is, like, the boys at Salford, remember?
Aye.
They get the bill eventually as well, but like, it's all managers' day.
It's Gary Holt, and he's been brought in to try and kind of...
Gary Holt couldn't manage a fucking raffle.
Oh, come on, now.
I don't know about that, so.
He took Livingston up the divisions, too.
He'd have done a better job with Celtic this year than fucking Lenny did, I think, by the way.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised if John Kennedy gets a Falkirk job. And I'm being serious.
Has he not got a job for life at Celtic?
Which he taking the fucking tickets at the door because he'll not be on the dugout next season, I'll tell you that.
No, but is he not always part of the backroom staff? Is that no party? If you sign on the bottom line to become a Celtic manager, you need to take John as well.
That's the way it seems, doesn't it? But hopefully I know, Stevie, I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. But I think if he's wanting to broaden his horizons, then he needs to move away from Celtic this season.
John.
At the end of this season.
John, who do you, it's funny, I want to know, like, Who does a League One team side? Who do they want as a manager? Who do you want? Is Gary Holt's going to take her? Is he? No.
I don't know. He wasn't brought in to do that job, Grado. He was brought in to kind of re-establish, you know, kind of direct the football, re-establish the youth set up and stuff at Falkirk. So I don't know if he even wants to go back into dugout. I'm not too sure. I mean, I think...
Well, Jim Jeffries for last week, man.
Oh, listen,
Jim's coming out of retirement.
Mark Kerr's a shout.
Aye.
Mark Kerr's... We need, to be fair, Falkirk needs someone experienced. We've taken a chance on inexperienced managers and Lee and...
But Mark has been managing the championship.
Exactly.
Aye, but he's not had a...
Touché.
...a season. And as much as... Like Mark Kerr brought in as a coach, don't get me wrong, but as a manager, we just need someone that knows...
What about Neil Lennon? Neil Francis Lennon?
He's not going to take the Falkirk job. I don't think Neil Lennon...
I'm jesting.
You need somebody to stay to the ship, don't you, John? You can't really...
Yeah, do you know what? I'd see someone like a Jim Duffy or someone of that kind of ilk to come in and just get them up...
What about if things don't go the way that they could go for Ross County? What about Big Yogi coming back?
There's a big drop from him, isn't it?
Listen, I love Yogi, legend, Falkirk legend, but there's a lot of... He left the club with a bit of sour taste in the mouth and a lot of support. The supporters are pretty much 50-50 split on him, so...
I'm saying it's a big jump. See if Ross County go down, then it's a championship, and then you take the Falkirk job, you're right back in a championship if you get them up.
Yeah.
So it's not that much a jump, you know what I mean?
And also, the 50% that are behind them, it would be great for them, but the 50% that are against them, you could just not fuck with them.
That's true.
And I don't think Yogi strikes me as the type taking a job would give a fuck about the 50 on the behind them anyway.
Aye, exactly. And also another friend of the show.
We're
just naming fucking friends of the show, aren't we?
Boys, right. Talking of like kind of lower league football, right?
Yes.
I got a text message the other day.
Oh, here we go.
Morris Ross?
No.
Friend of the show?
No.
Morris Johnson?
I got a morning pudding. You want to sign for my amateur team?
Right. Oh, I know who this will be.
Who?
Kenny Flip the Mindset.
Aye!
Brilliant.
I'm like, but you know me, mate. I like playing football, so I laughed, and then I'm like, text him back going, when is this? When are you doing this?
Wait a minute, you're already signed up for FDFC.
Football Daft Football Club?
Aye.
I know that, but just, you know what I mean?
Ask him if he wants a goalie coach. I'll not buzz into the goalies, you can't allow my goalie.
It's a Wednesday night. Wednesday night, I'm going to be training, and Sunday, we're going to be playing the games. But do you know what? Am I going to do it?
You're going to miss Rangers games,
cause it,
mate.
I know, plus I'll be filming at 7 some nights on Wednesday.
Bob, you might end up making it to junior and all that. You could go to junior level, signing with the Buffs and that way, AG, again. You're still young, you know.
37, mate.
Well, it's still time to play with the Buffs Ben Bub Juniors or something like that.
That would be my aim. The Buffs would be my aim. If I get to the Buffs...
Could you imagine that, me walking about with a Buffs that we pulled in 9 at the time? We don't want one.
You're getting into fucking second season at the Buffs, man. Hey, right, boys, I'm 10 goals away for Jerry Pellini's record, man. See you.
Oh, brilliant. I was wondering how we were working Jerry Pellini into that there.
By the way, happy birthday. It was Jerry Pellini's birthday 2 days ago.
Was it? Happy birthday, Jerry.
Friend of the show.
Happy birthday, Jerry. But anyway, I'll keep you updated with my progress if I'm going to accept the contract offer from Southside FC or not. But I'll get back to you. But more good news on the Scotland front as Kieran Tierney is on track to return from a knee injury in early May. Arsenal have confirmed he damaged the ligaments in the Premier League game against Liverpool, but he's not going to miss Euro 2020. That's good news. But Kieran Tierney back. Is he going to be playing alongside Nathan Patterson in a Scotland jersey?
By the way, see, depending on what UEFA do, he might not be playing next to any fucker. Because of that Super League nonsense. Do you know what I mean? Imagine they still banned all the players for the Euros and all that. We'd be fucked. That's three year best players, are we?
Let's be honest, man. We're probably fucked anyway, you know.
Aye, but we're going to be slightly more fucked than we would be.
Proper fucked.
Aye, no, but getting back to what you said there, Stevie, I don't see... If Nathan Patterson keeps playing the way he's playing, he'll probably be banned now for the last few games of the season, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But on form, he needs to be in that Scotland squad for me. Definitely. I agree. Anybody, and no disrespect to Stephen O'Donnell, but he's just a more dynamic, a more exciting prospect for me. And he should definitely be in that Scotland squad.
That's the word, Paul. I agree with you 100%. And Grado, I think you'll agree with me here as well. Even watching the Rangers game last night, obviously Tav's been out for 10 games. Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting there choking for Patterson to come on. He excites me, the young guy. He is exciting. That's it. I can't remember the last time he brought a player through I was this excited about.
There's a real competition there between Tav and Patterson, by the way.
There is.
If I'm Tav, man, I'm thinking, I mean, 6-7 weeks ago, maybe not so much, but in the last couple of games that he's played, Patterson, as you say, so exciting. Is exactly somebody. Honestly, it reminds me of that season where Alan Hutton controlled it in 2007. Better than that.
Aye, it is.
I agree with you, and see if he keeps playing the way he's playing, it could be curtains for Tav.
Yeah, Toll, you're saying that there. See if you turn up and decide to play football next week at Ibrox, is it going to be curtains for Rangers, man?
By the way, I'm fucking shutting the curtains and turning the telly off. I'm shutting the curtains and turning the telly off and crawling under the fucking bed. That's what I'm doing.
Right, boys, anyway, that's the warm-up done. Let's talk about the Super League. How mental was Monday morning? I had a hangover for hell, woke up Monday morning, turned Sky Sports News on, Jose Mourinho's been gave his jotters, and there's fucking 12 teams breaking away to start a Super League. What the fuck?
It was probably the most exciting 48 hours in football in the last 30 years. It was fucking dynamite. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, what's going to happen? Are these teams going to get fucked out of the leagues? And my first thought is, see if these six teams get fucked out of the league. Leeds get a Champions League spot for the position that they're in now. So it was quite exciting for me from that point of view as well. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? But that frees Jose up for his God-given role as a Celtic manager.
I've got to laugh at these last couple of days of all this, right? Don't get me wrong, I've been glued to it. Now, I don't watch English football, but just with all the Cairo on yesterday, and I see and I listen to Talk Sport, and I listen to all the fans phoning in and giving it. We've saved the day, we've saved football. It's fucking hypocrisy. It's total hypocrisy. This all stems for the greed that's in English football. Yeah. By the way, I can't believe they've never done any market research on this shit. I mean, they've hardly ever put up a fight. Like, they've not put up a fight. But this is why I don't bother with English football. It does my nothing. There's nothing I like. But I watched it when I was younger, when it was all Hardy bastards with receding hairlines and fucking called Gary and all that. Like, see now, when you watch it, I can't get emotionally into an English football game because I know it's all just money. Wow. And they're talking about hypocrites.
Receding hairlines and
we're
called Gary.
Do you know what I mean? There's nothing like that anymore. There's no.
I know.
I watch the football players and I go, they don't care. The players don't. I feel as if when I watch, I go, they don't have that team in their heart. I could be wrong, but this is for somebody that looks for the outside, and it just sums it up. And by the way, it's not the end of it because there's going to be more of this. But I just think the greed in English football has caused all this, all these owners, and I've got to laugh at English fans as well, going, the Glazers out, the Cronkies out. I'm like, mate, they're in billions of debt. Who is going to take over these football clubs?
Do you know the thing is, Grado, like you're saying there, see your Cronkies and your Glazers and stuff like that, and even, what do you call the guy at Liverpool, John
Henry?
John Henry. See if they decide to pull their money out, these teams will go to the wall.
Oh, mate, they're fucked.
Do you know what I mean? Like, see if Roman Abramovich decides, right, I've had enough of this. Every penny that he's put into Chelsea, he's put it in as a loan. Mm-hmm. Right? See, when he leaves Chelsea, he takes all of that money out. Chelsea will go out of business. Do you know what I mean? Unless he sells to another multi-billionaire, Chelsea will go out of business.
I mean, there was talk about Barcelona going to the
world. Barcelona are in billions. I bet. Billions.
Spurs have got 1.2 billion. Spurs are 1.2 billion in debt.
But that debt's in that stadium.
Yeah, right? See,
do you know what I mean? That debt's in that stadium. That's a manageable debt. Barcelona's debt, I don't know where. It comes to paying Messi that much money, I think. I'm not even kidding on. He's on £600,000 a week. £600,000 a week.
Barcelona are in a very precarious position, man. They're at a point where you go, when Messi, maybe Messi's got a year or two left at the top level, 3 years, whatever. When he's not there, what are they going to do?
See, the thing is, the English teams have all been dafted, I felt, because the Premier League, the money that they get in the Premier League, see your Barcelonas and your Milans and all the rest, they don't get that money, didn't they, compared to what the Premier League do. So this was something that would have suited them. And the English, I think the English clubs have been dafted and thinking, oh, this sounds great, but they're just wanting what they've already got.
Mm-hmm. No, right. But what you're looking at, and for a point of view for the clubs that were involved in it, I think part of it was going to be that it was going to be streaming and they were going to be able to manage their own streaming service, right? So Man United have got like 150 million fans worldwide or something like that, I seen on the telly the other day, right? If 150 million Man United fans buy, somebody made this point, if they buy a game at £1 per game, they're bringing in £150 million per game. Aye. Now, what you need to take into account is the fact that there's no fucking way it's going to be £1
going to be a pound. Game. No chance.
It's going to be £25, £30 a game. See, do you know what I mean? £30 times 150 million, that's more money than every other fucking club in the world will make put together. And that's, they're going to be making up for one game.
That's why I'm surprised that the clubs that wanted to go in this league have not really put up much of a fight. They've kind of shat it within a couple of days, because you know that you're saying 150 million fans around the world, too. That's what matters to them. I was talking about the Rangers daft, Celtic daft. The legacy fans, they don't legacy give a fuck about the old legacy fans. The traditional fans, the ones that go every week.
Do you know what it is? It's the people, it's the fans in Africa, it's the fans in Asia and stuff like that. See, like the Asian football market, it's massive. It's fucking massive. And none of them support their own teams. They've all got teams over here.
It's Man U, Liverpool, exactly.
I mean, you look at that Singapore Cup that the Premier League do, the Asia Cup before the season, that's just Premier League teams playing against each other in another country. And the money that they make for it is fucking unbelievable.
But the thing is, man, the beauty of the Champions League, what I was saying the other day, man, is like, you always get a surprise package that comes through. Player that fucking plays brilliant, gets a big move, and then see if you have fucking Juventus playing Man U every single year. You have fucking Man City playing AC Milan every year. Where's the fucking drama in that? Where's the anticipation? You don't want to watch the same teams playing each other every fucking year.
You're right, Stevie. It's going to, it would be like the MLS eventually, you know what I mean? But the thing, for me, they've got to bring in some certain, if they're going to do something like this, which I think they will do in the future, they need to bring in certain rules where, remember, like the three foreigner rule, right? In European football, they should need to have two under 21 players playing in their first team, right? That way, the fans get to see these players that are going to be coming through, and it brings through the stars of the future, and you become invested in these players. You know what I mean? So, what you were saying there, Messi and Ronaldo have only got a couple of years left in them each. When they go, that's the two main attractions to that week gone.
Aye, big time. So you're going, right, who's your next big superstar? Right, exactly. Bayern said no to it, right? Dortmund said no. So that's Haaland.
PSG.
PSG have got Mbappe. They're saying no to it. So, right, see this Super League in 2-3 years, like you say, Ronaldo, Messi away. Mm-hmm. What's the appeal to it?
And I think you're looking, the one problem as well is going to be the football, the money within normal European football is going to dwindle.
Aye, so clubs are going to win your fucking domestic campaigns or get into Champions League for what? You're fucking close to the war.
You're going to be playing for Scottish Cup money. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously it would be more than that, but in a relative sense to this,
I mean, apart from that, it would have been a good laugh, wouldn't it?
Aye,
boys, well, more football chat and daft chat and open line soon. And on the big question, we give you a very hypothetical question. What if the Old Firm were invited into the Super League? Ooh. And our guest this week is a man currently plying his trade with Cowden Beef, but has a few stories to tell after living through the Rangers' journey through the divisions. It is none other than Kyle Hutton.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Call them now on 01698 767-172.
Welcome to the show. Our amazing sponsors, it's none other than Nicole for G4 Claims. Nicole, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We're doing great. All the better for seeing you. Tell us a bit more about G4 Claims.
Thank you, boys. So once again, I appreciate all your time and all your listening, because you guys are definitely listening. So we've had numerous phone calls. You guys are driving down the road, you're hearing me talk, and I'm so grateful. So if you're involved in any sort of road accident, phone G4 Claims First. We are here to help and advise you. Don't phone your insurance and wait 45 minutes for somebody to answer the phone. Phone me and I'll answer it in the first ring, I promise you that. When you phone in, we can give you help and advice from the roadside. So even if you're stuck at the side of the road, phone us and we'll help you. If the accident has been not your fault, we can provide you with a like-for-like replacement vehicle whilst your car's off the road. If your car needs to be repaired, we'll get it put to an approved body shop or a body shop of your choice. If your car is written off, then we'll recover the total for your PAV, which is your pre-accident value of the vehicle, to make sure you're not left with any outstanding finance and stuff like that. We'll make sure that we look after you. All our services are free. They are billed to the At Fault Insurance Company, not to you, not to your insurance company, and not to even the person direct who's involved. It's their insurance company that pay for all the services. So as everything is free to you. And do you know what, guys? Like I say, every single week, and honestly, yous are listening, and I so appreciate it. Phone us first, because do you know, if you're sometimes at the scene of an accident and things are just crazy, you don't know what's happened, you can't remember the ins and outs, phone us and tell us where it happened and let us give you his advice, because chances are it might not have been your fault, or chances are, you know, you're getting convinced it's your fault and it's not. Phone us first and let us advise you and see if it is. Then, do you know what? We'll point you in the right direction and we'll guide you anyway, because all our services are free and the advice is free as well. And I love to talk. So phone me, please. It's Not At Fault Claims, and they're made easy.
Welcome to the Football Daft Open Line, where anything goes. Is Jose heading to Celtic? 13-1 at the moment. We'll wait and see. Will Jack Anick be at St Mirren next season? Contract talks starting with him, so I don't know if he'll be there next season. And after a video of Duncan Ferguson threatening a wee boy to study or else, is there any footballer in the world who could take on the big man? I don't think there is.
No.
As usual, we have our panel of football experts, and we always use that in the loosest fashion. Stephen Keevans, Graham Weedy and Chris Delahan. Boys, before we get on to the calls, Aaron Sharp got in touch with us via Twitter. He couldn't come on the open line, but he has this question for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Cheese and jam together, yes or no?
No.
Aye.
No.
Yes.
Get it.
Listen, it depends, right? Because here's the crack. You never had a wee kind of cracker cheese night, and there's such a thing as chili jam.
Yes.
Chili jam. Now, if
that's different, but
I'm assuming he's talking.
Like jam, he's talking strawberry.
Your round tree, you call it.
I'm thinking jam that my wee lassie wants on a piece before she goes to her bed and all that, and it's like, we cheat.
No,
right, okay, sorry.
I'm going to be honest with you, I've never tried it. It might be the nicest thing in the world, but then again, sour wrap may taste like pumpkin pie, but I'll never know, because I never eat the filthy motherfucker.
Where the film's that for?
Pulp Fiction, my man. Beautiful.
There we go. Lovely. First call on the open line, it is Rangers supporter Scotty Kirkwood, who's been on before.
Scott Kirkwood, how you doing, Scott? You all right, mate?
What's happening, mate? Sorry, I'm
trying to... Hey, Scotty.
Look at this. Sitting big.
Handsome boy.
I know. Oddle.
Are you doing door to door for the Labour Party or something like that?
Scott, welcome to the show. What do you want to say to the boys this week?
The question came up on me the day when I seen about the British Super League. It was just to get the boys' thoughts on that. I'm no for it, but I think what they should, or what I would like, is a British League Cup.
Yes.
Grab the Scottish and the Caribou, have a British Cup.
Yes.
That's a great shout.
Here's one for you. Have a British Cup and have the winners of it qualify for the Champions League. Then you would see the teams pitting out.
Aye, you wouldn't. Are you right? You wouldn't see a half-arsed like, fucking
exactly.
Spurs button. Aye, you're right.
I think we've conquered the world here in 10 seconds, boys. So I'm pure buzzing for this.
sounds like the best competition ever, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
So, aye, that obviously.
Apart from when Portsmouth draw Inverness, that'll be.
But how good does that sound, Bart? How good does that sound?
Aye, but then you're running the risky fucking Shrewsbury Town winning it and being in the Champions League. Know what I mean?
That's beautiful, but.
Well, that's true. That's the whole reason that we were angry at the fucking Super League, wasn't it? So
it reminds me of that fucking Dream Team for Sky back in the day. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's coming out today. Obviously, there's been talk of it's all ifs, buts, and maybes. And this, like Chris had said, this story will come out, you know, after the demise of the Super League about them trying to get Rangers and Celtic down to England. You guys are all Old Firm supporters. Would you be happy with that, Scott? You're saying no.
Stay in Scotland. You're a Scottish team.
No, for me. Like Gredo says, we wouldn't get to go to Rugby Park anymore.
Correct. That's just all about, man.
I just like it the way it is.
It's all right to know that we're winning that.
I'm genuinely Tottenham Arsenal. No chance.
I want my wee boy growing up and experiencing fucking winning leagues at Tannadice and fucking Rugby Park.
I'll tell you this, Stevie. And I'm a great, major firm believer that if Celtic Rangers went down there, within 5 years, they would be challenging for the league with the money that's down there, right? But what I will say as well is, your boy maybe wouldn't see them winning the league at Tannadice, but he could see them winning the league at fucking Old Trafford. Could you imagine that? You know what I mean?
I know. But, well, do you know what? Go back to what we were saying a minute ago. Keep the league format, keep everything the same way, but scrap the fucking Carabao Cup and League Cup and just have a big fucking British tourney, man, where we all just go fucking nuts.
That just needs a mega sponsor.
G4
Claims British Cup.
G4 Claims for the early stages and then Manscaped. I was
turning up with fucking Jeremy Bullard and that other country soccer EM and all that. Charles Neville from Stone Island and all that one.
Fucking Sky Sports News and all that. Going, football tournaments made easy.
Scotty, thanks for coming on, pal. Appreciate
it. Worries, boys.
By the way, I'm excited for a non-existent competition.
And can you imagine having that option on FIFA?
Oh, mate. Imagine
the first... We can do that anyway.
But here's the thing. Imagine the first ever draw.
I know. It'd be like back in the day, the old school fucking computer games. Even the commentary would sound weird. It's Shrewsbury Town versus Rangers.
They would X-Factor it all up with like the teams coming out to entrance music. And all that. They would make it all pure Britain's Got Talent, wouldn't they?
Too far, mate, too far.
Smoke machines. Aye, man, next caller. Who's in line?
Next caller. Right. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we had Jordan on, and he had a brilliant story about playing with Danny Cadamatari over in Egypt.
How could we forget?
Well,
Danny Cadamatari.
That was his name. Cadamatari. Right, okay.
Cadamatari.
Cadamatari, of course.
That sounds like an Italian insult.
Jordan's back on, and he wants to tell us a story about him appearing on Soccer AM.
Oh, here we go. Yes.
All right, lads. How's it going?
Good, oh, mate. Good, mate. With you.
Here we go. The highlight of my week. Geezer, Jordan. Geezer.
So the story goes, playing with Whitburn Juniors 3 years ago, and it was a cup tie at Hart Hill. Now, I don't know if you know Hart Hill, right, but the park is an absolute tatty field, right? It's a tatty field that never ever games on. But this day, it was battering down the rain, and we were all, by the way that the game was going to be off. We thought the game was a certainty to be off. But they kept saying, no, it's on, like, nothing to worry about, the game's definitely on. But more and more games were getting cancelled, to the point where every single game in the East region that day was cancelled except for ours, right? So we're turning up going, this game's got to be off. We've turned up, the park was an absolute swamp. They're putting sand on it, they're forking it, they're trying to get this game on for some reason. So because all the games were off, loads and loads of folk were coming to watch, like for other teams and that, different managers, players for other teams, were all coming to watch. So there was a decent crowd building up, but the rain was still on. So anyway, we're in the dressing room, about 2:20, 2:00 kickoff. We've just warmed up and all that kind of stuff. Strips are on, there's loads of folk turning up outside. And the ref comes in and he goes, lads, I can't play this. He's like, this fucking pitch is too heavy, I can't play this game. So we're like, listen, we're ready. The other team's ready, there's fans here and all that. We need to play it. So a wee bit of peer pressure, I think the ref actually caved in and says, right, I'll give it a go, but any more rain, I'll need to call it off. And thank God it did, mate, because it actually changed my life a wee bit at that time anyway, because it was unbelievable what happened there. So the game kicks off halfway through the first half. We're up about 2 or 3 or something like that. And the ball goes back to your centre half. Now I play up front, so the ball's going back to your centre half. And he's headed it up the pitch towards me. And I'm holding off this big guy, this boy David Taylor. I actually know him, so I'm holding him off. And the boys, I've slipped with the pitch, and the boys smashed me right in the face. And it's been back to my teammate, Tino. And he's just, I'm lying on my back. I'm lying like on my ass, on the deck. And he's passed me the ball back, but I'm lying on my back. And I swear this right on my Wayne's life. People always ask me, did you mean this? I didn't actually mean to do it as sweet, right? But I did mean it. So I'm lying on my back, and the ball was about a foot off the air, coming straight towards my stomach. And I've just kind of penciled myself straight, like poker straight on the deck. And it's played like a 1-2 right off my stomach. Because Tino chased it. And it played like a 1-2 right off my gut. And then we've ran through, and I'm sure he played a pass, and I'm sure we scored that, but right? But our wee left winger couldn't even fucking run down the line for laughing, right? It's the funniest thing he's ever seen, he said. And there was folk in the stand laughing in that, and I'm going, what's going on here? So we got in at half-time, and a wee guy who was playing with us, I think he was injured that day, he came in, he's going, wee man, he says, what the fuck was that you done? He says, that's the best thing I've ever seen, man. He says, that's fucking brilliant. And I'm going, go, because I don't know, mate. I says, just something happened. I don't know, it was just a reaction. So anyway, we won the game and that. And that night, a guy who was there for Musselburgh Juniors, their game was after that day. He was there filming it, right? So he sent me a clip. He says, mate, I got this on video today. And when he sent me the clip, I went, that is actually quite funny, that. And I'm positive it was him that said he was going to send that into Soccer M. But I'm going to send that into Soccer M. We'll see what happens. He says, you never know. They like this kind of stuff. So I was on the Tuesday, and I'm sure it was the guy from Musselburgh who filmed it. He's messaged me and asking for my phone number. He says, Soccer M, want to get in touch? I'm positive it was him that said this. So I thought maybe they were wanting to do like a wee phone interview or something for to go out in the show on the Saturday. And so I've given the number. On the Tuesday, I'm going to my stag do on the Friday. The phone rings, a London phone number. I've answered it, and it's the fucking producer of Soccer M. He's like, all right. He's like, I think his name was Bobby. He's like, all right, my name's Bobby. I'm from Soccer M. He's like, the clips went mad. He's like, we can't believe the success of this clip. He says, it's absolutely brilliant. And he says, oh, if Messi or Ronaldo done that, you know what I mean? It would be spoke about for years to come and everything. And I'm like, aye, all right. He's like, we want to get you on the show on Saturday, right? So I was like, aye, you're fucking kidding me on, man. So they're like, no, we want to get you done. He's like, I says, well, I've got my stag doing Friday. I'm going to Newcastle for the weekend. And he says, well, we'll want to get you done to recreate the belly pass with Jimmy Bullard. So straight away, I'm like, right, I'm fucking coming, mate. There's the stag is getting patched. I'm the stag, I'm coming. So, they arranged it for us that we could go down to the stag and stay there kind of all day on the Friday. Oh. I was allowed to take one of my mates. I was trying to get all the boys to come down, but they couldn't. The show's on its ass, to tell you the truth. They didn't have the budget to get us all down there, but I was allowed to take one of my pals and me and my mate, Big Kev, man, what a laugh. We got on the train at 9:30 at night on the Friday for Newcastle, and we've jumped into like the first class. We're not meant to be there. We've fucking emptied the trolley and that. It's all free if you're in first class. We've emptied the trolley and that. We're absolutely tanked up on the bevy. Going into London, hotels and all that kind of stuff. Like, Big Kev hadn't been to bed for 2 days. He'd been night shift before he came to the stack. He was fucking nice singing to his head. We're sat in this Indian restaurant at 4 o'clock in the morning in London, eh? Like, absolutely class, man.
That's brilliant.
But then, we went to the show the next day. And this is an absolute classic. So we got there about 7 o'clock, 7:30. We've turned up and we were on with, you know, the band Blossoms.
Aye.
So we're on with them, right? And Big Tom Davis, the boy for the League of Their Own. He's a great guy. So we went through and we're kicking the ball about and that. And there you go. The lad comes through. He walks out the wee tunnel and goes, where's the fat lad, right? I'm obviously standing there. I'm like, oh, hey, what's happening? He's running and jumped at me and that. What a guy, mate. Great guy, eh?
He looks at it, doesn't he?
Aye, mate, he's a legend there. So he's like, mate, do a couple of practices of this and that. So I'm lying on this fucking grass. It was that bike that was soaking. That John Arisa thing was soaking. So I'm lying there, man. He's trying to chip this ball and he can't do it. He's like, oh, what am I going to do? This is going to be on live telly. I don't know if I can't do this. I'm like, I've got no idea. You'll just need to try and do it. So we went through the wee hang and all that, and we're playing away. By the way, everybody was absolutely different class with us. They can't fault how good they were. So I came to live telly. and like my arse absolutely collapsed. No one to lie, I didn't even talk or nothing, to be honest. So we're trying to do this thing, this belly pass, and this is on live telly, eh? And I'm looking at Kev, and Kev's giving me the fingers and that behind the camera, trying to make me laugh. Billard can't chip this ball into my stomach, sorry, he just can't do it. He's like fucking starting to crack up. He ends up chucking it, and even anything, he nearly fucking misses, and I pure get it round me, he smashes it out of the bar, and he's all raging and that, and then once the camera cut away, he's like, oh, that was fucking terrible. I went, I know, my mate Kev goes, fucking 30 grand in the week, you catch up a ball 5 yards, fucking hell, right? He turned around and went, no, it was actually 40 grand in the week.
Fantastic. If anyone's listening, we'll retweet Jordan the video so you can see this pass for Jordan, because it's absolutely incredible. Unbelievable.
It's so funny, man. It's absolutely so funny.
Jordan, thanks for coming
just
on.
Just for getting me back on, lads.
Anytime, big man.
Anytime.
Cheers, lads. Take it easy.
See you later, mate.
Bye-bye.
If you want to be on the open line next week, dead easy to do it. Just check out the links on our Twitter, or sign up for Patreon. Why don't you do that? You'll get loads more content from the show as well. Patreon.com/footballdaft.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Football Daft's big question.
Right, boys. So this week, all the talk has been about the Super League. So we put a hypothetical question out there. What would the reaction be for both Old Firm and non-Old Firm fans if Rangers and Celtic were two of the teams invited into the league? What's your thoughts, boys?
It's one of the ones, isn't it? But did you not say it, Bob, the other day? Like, when this got announced, we're all given, this is terrible, disgusting. But if the next day it came out that Rangers and Celtic invited, would have been all about it?
It's like you're sitting there, man, you're on the moral high ground. It's fucking greed. Some or charlatans the next day. Tell you, see the money we could make for this, by the way.
it would be like getting invited to a wedding you weren't expecting to get invited to. Yeah. I mean, you go and buy a fucking topper or a suit and all that.
But could you imagine that every other week? Well, obviously, it'd be hard to do it every other week, but do you know what I mean? Imagine that, like, because half the time you're going to, if you're travelling up to fucking Ross County,
he's jumping,
do you know what I mean?
He's jumping in a fucking plane to chilling.
Do you know what I mean?
Fucking sitting there with the boys, man. We'll go this weekend. I'll give you away, man.
You get any spells for fucking mine?
Yeah. Is the game on the telly this week?
I'm just watching in the house.
I'm going to get the bus for the Bristol to the airport, then jump there. Oh, man. UV away, man. Two away games in the trot, man. Fucking Turin, then Old Trafford, know what I mean?
Oh, fuck's sake. Can you imagine the reaction?
Sounds alright, doesn't it?
The reaction of non-Old Firm fans, but they would want radios straight away, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
but no! John, your arse. Because no. Watch. I don't mean to upset our listeners that don't support Rangers or Celtic, but their arse. Because, look, when Rugby Park, it's only ever half full when Rangers or Celtic are in town. Come on.
Exactly.
But, like, Grado, the thing is, it depends what the Super League would do. Obviously, the SPFL would shit themselves and all that sort of stuff. But see, if you ask, we're not talking business here, but if you ask any non-Old Firm supporting, and take the money out of it, I guess, but you want to see, like, if the Old Firm were removed for this, right, removed from the Scottish League, there's more chance for everyone to win stuff. There's more chance for clubs to progress and see your team win stuff, because we've got no chance. No team out with the Old Firm's got any chance, because the money that goes into the Old Firm, we've got no chance to
well, your team can't fucking go to League One, never mind win the SPL, mate. Come on. It's not today with us, mate.
And the thing is, they don't even need to play Celtic or Rangers. I mean, they still can't fucking win.
But then, John,
you
but
fucking
then,
set yourself up for that. There,
I know
mate.
I did. I know I did.
But then, John, his argument, but if Rangers and Celtic go away, it's going to end up just being between maybe two or three teams anyway.
No,
is it then just going to be Aberdeen and Hearts? I know that Hearts, that's a bad
Dundee United have got a decent support. All these, you know, all the kind of mid-level teams, your Hibs, well, you go Aberdeen, Hibs, Hearts, right? That's going to be your kind of, you would be your top three, right? Probably. But Dundee United have, you know, with a bit of backing and Dundee...
Do you not think a lot of appeal of players moving to clubs in Scotland out with the Old Firm is to then eventually get a move to the Old Firm?
And play against the Old Firm as well.
Mm-hmm. I play the big sevens. But well, yeah, do you know what? I get what you mean, John. I get what you mean. And do you know what? It would be good to watch for a season. It would be interesting if there was a season where, right, where everything was agreed, we were in some English league or European league, and it would be interesting, but to see how the SPFL go on and who would win that and who would... Because it would be a good season, but after one season...
I mean, don't get me wrong, the money would be fall out of the game fucking quicker than anything. But
Not necessarily. Not necessarily, because...
I think it would.
The crowds could go up if
exactly,
no
Gredo. Exactly, Gredo. See if these teams are in with a sniff of winning the league, these stadiums will be full, John.
Well, that's
look at when Kelly had Steve Clark and they were up there, knocking about second and third and all the rest of it. Their fans were there as soon as they go. If clubs know that there's no Rangers and Celtic, you could be right. So basically,
the gate money these teams get for Rangers and Celtic, the arse would fall out Scottish football for Rangers and Celtic. One of them,
I guess, on the flip side of that, when you've got Rangers and Celtic playing down the road against fucking Man United and Arsenal and Liverpool and all these teams, you know what I mean?
Let's just go back to the big cup we have. And keep
that big, beautiful wee cup that we've invented.
Exactly. Now let's get to the listeners, right? Graham Renton, a Jambo replies with a gif of Larry David saying, "No one wants you here." That's quite good.
Jambo, Rangers fan says, "When do the tickets go on sale?"
Oh, he hasn't held back there. John Rangers, he says, "I would be delighted. Mbappe and Morelos up front." I can see the M&M t-shirts now.
I don't think so, because Rain Gredo wouldn't like to see an unknown playing up front with him, but with Morelos.
I was trying to sidestep it this week, man. I was the guy saying, when I seen that, so when I go, I was like, what are the chances? I'm going, it was John Rangers. I'd be delighted. Mbappe. Morelos. Callum, a Celtic fan, says, I really wish people would just leave things the way they are.
Oh, well done, Callum.
A Celtic fan saying that, we don't want things left the way they fucking are. Stuart said, would not be pleased, but the EPL can take the moral high ground about saving the soul of football when European teams in smaller leagues battle to win championships, but still need to qualify for the Champions League, while teams can gain the same benefits from just coming fourth in England.
It's a valid point.
A shorter answer on future Stuart, come on.
I like that, it's a valid point.
No, I'm kidding on it, it's a valid point.
Roberto, a Rangers fan, well, he says he would prefer getting an invite to the English Premiership, to be honest.
Tweety Pie, Rangers fan, says the Old Firm have been trying for the last 20 years or so to jump ship, so to take the moral high ground over the Super League smacks of hypocrisy.
I can see the point, but Davey, a Rangers fan, says it's an easy decision for the famous. As no one likes us, we don't care.
That's funny hearing you say that. Rob, a Dundee fan, he says, well, I guess they need someone to be bottom of the table.
Well, very funny, Rob.
Aye, but no, that's a thing. See, if Rangers and Celtic were to go down south or into the Super League, they would get fucking pumped. And
John,
Rangers
John,
and Celtic sports wouldn't like that.
John, see if we get the money up front. Celtic and Rangers are a very fucking attractive prospect for football.
See, just because you've not got cracks and big sex anymore, don't come on here with a fucking attitude, okay?
Yeah, see another hang on all which we're forgetting about, John. See, you're saying that, and you're right, too, about the appeal. See, you know, in modern day football, see agents and all that, they're no daft. They'll be going, see if you get a contract playing with Rangers and Celtic. Here's the stats. Your fucking Instagram follows are going to treble. Your Twitter followers are going to treble, you're going to get more chances of this and that, compared to what you would get if you signed for the likes of, say, you know,
Sterling Albion.
No, I mean an English team. And that's a big thing.
Aye,
West
Ham. You're right.
Yes, you're right.
That's probably the best thing I've said.
Back to the listeners. Next one up is Dark Helmet. Join it for 5 years and we'll call it the Banter Years episode 2. Then when we have 700 billion in the bank, we'll rejoin the Scottish Premiership and win Terry Munro.
That sounds beautiful. Chris says Super League. I'll have a sip.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Find them on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at G4 Claims Limited.
During lockdown, small businesses have always shown an incredible ability to adapt, innovate and survive. Now, another way you can adapt and grow is your business is find the right people to help it grow, right? And at LinkedIn Jobs, they can help you do that, right? So, for example, let's just say Chris Toll left the podcast because he's fed up of getting teased for being a Celtic supporter. What we would do is we'd get onto LinkedIn and we'd find a person, the right candidate, to come and replace Chris Toll on Football Daft. Though Chris is irreplaceable, we all know that, but LinkedIn Jobs would be able to help us find the right candidate to fill his big shoes that he would leave, or maybe smaller shoes. LinkedIn is an active community of professionals with more than 30 million members in the UK. Getting started on it is dead easy. And they've got new features there that you can help find qualified candidates really quickly. I was just on it the other night, and there's a couple of decent jobs going, by the way, so I might be leaving the podcast myself. Post a job with targeted screening. Don't all say no, don't go, John. Post a job with targeted screening questions, and you'll quickly get your role and get you in front of get qualified candidates in front of you. You can manage job posts, contact candidates from a single view on... you guys have all used LinkedIn.com, haven't you? Basically, LinkedIn Jobs has got a very similar view and the functions are streamlined onto one simple screen to make it easier to find jobs. And you can do all this from your mobile, so you can be out and about. You can just have a wee scan of all the jobs that are going. And basically, they're going to help you hire the right person faster. So this is what you want to be doing when your business is ready to make the next hire. If we want to find a replacement for Chris Toll, find the right person with LinkedIn Jobs. Now you can get a post for free. Just visit linkedin.com/daft. That's linkedin.com/daft. I'll spell LinkedIn for you just in case you don't know. LinkedIn.com/daft. You'll be able to post a job for free. There's just some terms and conditions that do apply. So get involved and get stuck into LinkedIn.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Get them now at notatfaultclaims.com.
The player profile playoff with piesports.com. They are serving Scottish football fans with pies during lockdown so you can enjoy the taste of Scottish football while you sit in your house and you watch the games, hopefully not for long. Basically, we get one of the listeners on every week to play for pies, but if you want them, you can get them now, piesports.com, or you can call their send our Savory's hotline, which is 0141 739 9999. They'll deliver pies right across Scotland to some postcodes for free at charge, and you'll get them Friday or Saturday ahead of the weekend's games. Brilliant package up there, so you can check them out on the website. On this week to play the game, it is Ethan, who's a Rangers supporter. How you doing, Ethan?
How you doing, Ethan?
Not bad. All right.
It's good to finally get a Rangers fan on.
So let's see who you're playing today. It is Stephen Purdue.
Let's go, Tommy.
Ethan, what's your buzzer going to be?
Tommy.
Stephen.
55.
Still doing for that
55
one. Right, gentlemen. Well, I don't know if this is good news or bad news for you. We're heading back to the 2006-2007 season. Ooh. Any memories of that season?
What age were you, Ethan?
But, 9.
You were 29 in 2006?
No, I was 9.
All right.
Honestly, hey, fucking hell, you're like Wilson.
Stephen, remember this one, Chris Boyd, top goal scorer. Rangers. I don't think Rangers came away from with a trophy that season, did they?
I was going to say, I think we're trophyless, mate. Nah, I think it was a bad season.
Yeah, aye.
Was it
Le Guin?
I think aye, because it was the next, the two.
It was Le Guin, and this was Walter Smith taking over from Le Guin in this season. It was a double for Celtic in that season.
Are you all right, John?
I'm just saying. Right. Anyway, let's get on to the players then, shall we, gents? Right, okay, first player coming out. Let's see if you get this one. This Rangers forward made the jump to Fir Park in this season after struggling to find a place in the first team. Despite scoring 5 goals well on loan at Doncaster. Who's in that? Tommy?
Me, Tommy. Ross McCormack.
It is Ross McCormack. Yeah. Well done.
Best agent in football, man. The money that country made.
Ross McContract, is he going to get it's called?
I saw Ross McCormack in the plane to Tenerife that year too. Right, and I'm going to keep
going.
Cool story. Right, next player coming out. This Arsenal striker joined John Hughes Falkirk on loan and went on to score 16 goals in 18 games, including being the first ever SPL player to score hat-tricks in consecutive games.
Oh, in 55.
Stephen.
Stokes.
Yay. And
Stokes, well done. 1-1. One,
God, one. I don't think I'd have got that.
He played for Arsenal.
Wait for Arsenal came on.
How did you get that then? Are you Googling or something?
I just forgot about Googling that, mate. How can I fucking Google Anthony Stokes' fucking career in fucking 10 seconds?
Right. 1-1, all to play for, boys.
Just when I thought of Falkirk and I thought, anyway, go, John.
Oh, okay. This towering centre half moved across the city to United from Dundee after being at Dens Park since 1998.
55.
Stephen.
Lee Wilkie.
Yeah!
2-1, Stephen Parton. Well played.
You give Tommy the pies, but...
No, I'll give Ethan the pies.
If you want to get your pies, get on piesports.com.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Call them now on 01698 767 172.
Now, let's welcome to Football Daft, a man that started his career at Rangers. He went down to the lower tiers of Scottish football with him, and since then, he's played throughout Scotland, and he now finds himself at Cowdenbeef. It's Kyle Hutton. Kyle, what are you saying to my man?
Oh, not much, mate. It's glad to be here. Glad to be on talking to you, isn't that?
Brilliant.
Welcome, mate. Thanks for coming on, my man.
Having a few beers and that, know what I mean? Boring used too much. Me used to be out the back garden having a few beers, but trying to entertain, not me.
I'm sure you will, mate. What are you doing day to day? Do you work? Or
aye, so I work in the railway. So
right.
Aye. So when I first started, it was a night shift, and I was all over the place. Honestly, the body clock, and then try to sort of coincide that with part time football. It was murder. But for the past year now, I've been back to day shift, and that. So aye, it's good.
The worst thing about night shift, especially, I don't want to go on about it, but the worst thing about night shift, I think, Toe, I don't know if you get this way, but like, see when I finish, I could eat like mince and tatties, I could eat.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? It just kind of makes your body.
That was the worst part of it. See, you try to get your, like, almost starving yourself because you're like, I can't go and eat this at this time. You know what I mean?
Aye. I know. It is.
Home in the morning, you're wanting curry.
I know.
I would do that, man. I'd definitely do that.
But Kyle, see that this weekend, but everybody's talking about this Super League carry on. What do you make it?
Besides everybody else, just a nonsense, really. Like, I thought it was going to be one of these things where it gets bandied about Super League and that, and then it just sort of dies away. I didn't actually think it was going to be come out as an actual thing that was going ahead. Do you know what I mean? Because it sounded that bizarre. You're just thinking, it's just one of these ideas somebody's put it there. And it's going to sort of disappear after a while, but then I'll be surprising when you've seen it actually, like, teams are signing up to it and going for it. And then obviously, what's happened is you can't have football without fans and they've got involved, and that's
exactly, mate. Exactly. And we were saying earlier on, we were talking before you came on, like, obviously, there were still a few teams that were still to be invited. What do you think the reaction would have been up here if two of the teams were Rangers and Celtic?
Oh, just the same?
Aye.
If not worse.
Mm-hmm.
You think so?
I think it might have been as well, man. It would have been carnage at Ibrox, I think.
If not worse. But then I think
at the beginning it would have been, I can't believe this. And then, like you say, Stevie,
the longer you got to think about it and you got to think about the sort of players that we could be signing and stuff like that, folk would have been like,
Well, here, you've got all the fans sometimes going about how they would like Celtic Rangers to go down to the Premier League and all that, leave the Scottish league behind and all that sort of stuff. So,
If your performance against Man United in 2010 is anything to go by, you'd stroll that league, mate.
Aye.
Come on.
Oh, that was a long time ago, that man.
Aye, but mate, you were doing that at the fucking Theatre of Dreams with a cigar in your mouth, mate, just throwing about with fucking Nadie's business, you know what I mean?
Long time ago, that man, honestly. Remember that.
But see, when you think back to that, was that your finest moment, or was it, see, when you look back at your Rangers career, what's your thing where you go, aye, here, hold on a minute, man, that was fucking tidy, that.
Aye, that was the one. Like, I mean, some of my mates, they wind up and go, if I'm going to work or whatever, they go, Huts, you used to play Champions League, can you look at me here? They crack a dawn and go to work, that, and I'm just turning and go, aye, but like, have you played the Champions League? But I'm like, no, have you done that? No, you know what I mean? That's like the comeback. So it's banner, but no, when I look back, that is the thing that I'll take away. Like, when I sort of hang about something, like that'll always be one of my greatest ever memories, that playing against Man U and stuff, just the whole experience of it and stuff like that. So,
who were you up against in the middle of the park that night again, Kyle?
That night it was Scholes and Carrick.
No, they've not done much in their careers, have they? But no, I mean, fuck it. No, I mean.
And that's the thing, I was like, how was Scholes? Like, Scholes are Scholes, amazing. But that night, it was Carrick that night for me.
Aye.
I was just thinking, no, that way you think yourself, like, you're doing no bad in the reserves, and you're sort of training with the first team every day, and then you're getting a chance with the first team, and you think, I'm no bad at this. Then you play against these guys, you're like, oh, I'm miles off it.
Was it Broadfoot, or would you call him? Fuck, Amy McDonald's, would you call him again?
Ricky Foster.
Aye, was it Manny? Who was it that kind of scored at the end of that game? Was it that game?
Did Broadfoot no break Valencia's leg that night or something?
I don't know if I remember that.
That was down there, wasn't it? I was on the bench at Old Trafford, and then I started at Ibrox. So, but down there, it was Broadfoot broke. It was Valencia, wasn't it?
It was Valencia's leg, aye. He was out for about 18 months or something. It was a badging.
That was a
bad thing
before. Remember that.
Sorry, I've just took the fucking tone of the whole interview right down with that there, I'm sorry about that.
You know what I mean, man? The fucking, there we go, man. Typical Celtic fan, they're trying to get every wee victory everywhere there, Kyle, you know what I mean? What a night that was for you, Kyle. What about when Broadfoot snapped for less than 18 minutes? Fucking thugs, ain't you? She's a thugs.
Aye, Kyle, that must have been
wrong,
Tam.
Can't listen.
But I'll tell you what, that's not the most damage you've done in fucking Manchester.
Hey, you're so tough.
Ah, come on.
There we go. That's us, we're off, boys.
Just Kyle, obviously, right, you're at Dumbarton now, right? But yeah, I see you on Twitter and that. You're obviously still a big Rangers fan, know what I mean? Just to bring Toll back down to earth. What you thinking of a club winning the 55th title? What you thinking of it all, mate? Good season.
Well, we've been talking about me and you, so. But no, brilliant, man. Superb. Like, obviously, sent a few boys were sort of sending tweets out sort of before it was official. But as soon as it was official, Celtic could not catch us. It was a pleasure sending out a wee tweet, and the amount of abuse I got was even better, to be honest with you. That's what I put it out for, just to see the replies.
You should just be concerning yourself with Cowden Beath, all right, you fucker.
Taking you back, right, obviously we're talking about you playing at Old Trafford and stuff there, right? So, we win the league, Walter Smith says he's away, right? And then we all know what happened after that, McCoist. Yeah. What was the club like? See, when Walter said he was off, the Jews behind the scenes, was there any alarm bells ringing? So I remember seeing Walter Smith in Rugby Park saying this club needs investment, right? Was alarm bells ringing at that point for players like yourself? No.
No, there wasn't. I've been asked that a few times, but generally, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. We just thought it was just because Coyste started taking the cup game and stuff like that during the week.
Aye.
So we already sort of knew that, obviously had an idea that obviously the Gaffer was going to be leaving, and then obviously Coyste was going to get the job. So that was just a way of him, like, bedding Coyste in, like, putting him in, like, leaving him to manage the league games. So at the end of the year, we sort of knew that was sort of going to be the script. So when he said that, when he announced that he was leaving, like, there wasn't any alarm bells whatsoever. We just thought that's just the way the club was going anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, Coisty was coming in, that's why he was taking the league games. He was going to be the manager next season. So when he announced it, nobody was thinking about what happened. Eventually, do you know what I mean? Then that was that.
It must have been brutal, right? And I see, like, obviously quite a few players decided not to forward their contract on. Right?
Yeah.
When that came to a point, did you have an option? Did you have an option? Was any clubs sniffing about you that? Because you had been, like you were, like Stevie and Gradle were saying, you'd been playing in the Champions League, you'd been playing well in the Champions League as well. You know what I mean? So.
Well, at that time, I wasn't really looking to leave, but then my agent at the time said that Brentford was interested. I think they were league and they won a championship. They were League One at the time, and he was saying, "Look, you want to go down there?" And I was like, "I said no." I was like, "No." And then obviously, as you said, like you started seeing people leaving, so you start thinking to yourself, "Oh, right, should the right decision, leave? Is that the right decision here? Am I making the right decision by saying no to Brentford?" I think it was the next day, Coisty phoned us just to have a chat about what was going to be happening next year and stuff like that. And then after I had the chat, we had right after the phone my agent, and says, "Nah, I'm signing on my Rangers. I want to sign my Rangers. I want to sign on again for the journey back up," sort of thing. But it's one of the ones I would never say regret, like playing for Rangers and all that sort of stuff. But it's like a wee
can
thing.
I
the back
can I wonder what if?
What if I? It's just a wee thing sometimes in the back of your head. Like, what if? Do you know what I mean? Because once you go down south, if it doesn't work out one team, you've always got different other teams you sort of can bounce about after. Do you know what I mean? There's so many teams.
Not just that as well. You look at Brentford now and you look the way that they've come on since then. You know what I mean?
I'm a great believer in everything happens for a reason, man. I honestly do. I would never go back and think about stuff like that.
Aye, but maybe Brentford tried to sign him for a reason.
No, I know what you mean.
No, I wouldn't say it's the back of my head. It's just sometimes when I get asked the question of, do you wish that you stayed or you left? It wasn't great with me in the third division and coming up the leagues. It wasn't great. We weren't great at all. But the whole experience of it still, even though we're in the lower divisions, was unbelievable still. Do you know what I mean?
What was the, I remember the famous first game, man, bloody, in the cup. We didn't even know if it was going to extra time. The players are walking off and all that, and it was on BBC Alba. Me and my mates are sitting watching it. You're just like, what the fuck's going on here? But when you go there and you know, and all the players have left. We all know the famous players that left, your Naismiths, your Whitakers, whatever, they all went. What was it like then when McCoy's took that first training session and there was like, how many of yous? I don't know. There wasn't even a lot of yous there, weren't there?
No. It was just, to be fair, big McCulloch was a captain at the time, so obviously it was just a small group and that. I had the meeting and Jig was just like, look lads, I know we're doing the third division, but we just treat this as the way we go about any other season at Rangers. Obviously we're only worried about it, he's like, don't worry about the number of players we've got to know. We're going to build a squad. We're going to promote youth and all that as well. Like, Jig and that was sent to us, and we'll just take it for there. I mean, it was a bit weird. But I mean, I think it was only at the time 9 or something, 10 maybe something. And it was probably like the rest of it. Sort of young boys coming up, to like reserves in training or whatever it was. It was weird, but at the same time, there's going to be a slight sort of influx of players anyway. I just didn't expect at the time when the players did come in, some of the wages that were getting flung about, I was like,
aye, mate, that's a big thing. I was going to get to an all man.
I was hanging with me, because I was like, Ian Black came in on that, branded about like £8,000 a week or something. So I'm thinking, Jesus, he's in my position, man. Mate, that means he needs to play. He's only £8,000 a week. He's only playing.
How frustrating that must be for you, but.
Aye, for that, like, at first you're like, right, I need to start over again. Like, if he comes in on £8,000 a week, he's playing regardless. If you sign a player and he's on £8,000 a week, he's playing regardless. So you're like, right, he's my position. So I need to try and work my arse off again to try and get my place back and stuff like that. So I managed to do that. I think it was maybe think it was only maybe four or five games I was subbed to start with. And then after that, I got my place and started playing well and getting the team and stuff. And then that was that. But no, that was the only frustrating part, to be honest. The wages that they were getting granted about.
You're saying that there as well, Kyle, but it's like it was on $8,000 a week, and that's not even including these bookies winnings.
You're really fucking low on the tone, this.
Aye, mate. Gamblerware.co.uk, you fucking... That's shocking, too.
Hey, Kyle, that's what I mean, when I look back, man, obviously, me and my mates were gone every week, man, and you're sitting there and the frustration, man, watching, they sit with Coyce. Do you think, you're talking about, McCulloch saying, we're going to promote youth, do you think... I don't know, man, players like yourself and Lewis McLeod and that, do you think he's got a fair crack at it?
Well, I don't, I mean, I've done well, and then for me it's a bit different. I missed the whole of the second division. I broke both my legs. I broke my right leg and my left, so I missed the whole of the second division. And then obviously if you miss a whole season, players then come in and sort of get their places and all that, and they're the sort of mainstay of the team. And then obviously the next year I had to come back again and sort of day everything all over again, try and get my place back, all that sort of stuff. But players at Lewis McLeod, as soon as the first day that we Lewis McLeod came in, I don't think you had to promote him. He came in, he was brilliant. Pre-season games, it was just unreal and stuff like that. And you knew he was going to play every week. But maybe, looking back, maybe I think they could have promoted a lot more young boys, maybe. But at the same time, the pressure was only to go up, do you know what I mean? There was no any room for, we didn't go, we'll promote hundreds of young boys, we might not go up or whatever, but as I said, it's just what I think. Cradle says, but everything happens for a reason, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Do you know what I'm going to say? I know, right? Let's see all this third division, Kieran. It's depressing me now. I want to know, right? You're a wee guy, you sign for Rangers, you turn up at Murray Park, right? And you walk into the changing room and you see the players, some players that you probably watched as a wee boy and went to Ibrox and saw. What was that like? Who did you, when you walked in and you went, "Whoa, I can't believe such and such is in the dressing room, I can't believe." Do you know what I mean? Tell us about that. Tell me about the excitement.
So as a wee guy, you'd go up to Murray Park, see it like Easter. You'd got for the 4-day training camp, and then there was a wee woman in the corner, and she was like, "You go and stay there and stay in hers and stuff like that during the Easter sort of camp things." Then you'd wake up with all the boys and go into training and stuff like that, and just go into training like Bomber and Durante and stuff that they were taking us. Do you know what I mean? At times and coming in and giving us wee tips and all that, and taking us for wee passing drills. But then obviously, if you seen Fergie walking down the corridor, whatever. You just, as always, remember, you'd see Fergie and that, and all the boys would be nudging each other. If you had a tap to get signed or whatever, you'd be nudging your God, don't you ask him? He said, No, you ask him. I'm the fucking asking. You know that? Yeah. Sometimes you'd have banter with you, Fergie, when you were younger. You've got that, Barry, can you sign that for us? And you'd just look at you, you'd go, Barry, you get marbles in this thing. You've got that. What? No, you know what I mean? Something you'd be dead straight face and just look at you and bam you up and that, you'd be sweating and all that. The other time they'd be like, you'd walk out, all right, you man, it'd make it better. But just the whole facilities and stuff like that. But it's even more so, I look back now, I'm like, see, when I was a wee guy, man, I should have known a lot more like what I had in front of me, the facility wise, everything about me and all that. I mean, I didn't take it for granted, but at the same time, I wasn't really...
You didn't know any different?
Club, really. That was my first club when I was coming up, you know what I mean? So I've sort of maybe took it as the norm, sort of thing.
Aye, definitely. So, what was Bomber like then? Is your coach...
He was like the reserves, and I was the under-17s. And believe it or not, I was playing striker. I was playing up front.
Right.
I was a striker, aye, and I'd scored a few goals. I scored in the Glasgow Cup final against Celtic in the final. Brilliant. And then after that, they sort of put me up to reserves with Bomber, and he was taking it. Mm-hmm. And Jesus Christ, man, I just didn't want to go back up again. Oh man, just anything, just going off his head, like screaming. And obviously, the other coaches I had, they were hard on you at times, but this was like a whole new level. Like, bomb. Yeah. To be fair, it had to be that way. You had boys like Stevie Lennon, this other boys, Sammy Woods, and stuff like that. The two of them were just trying to take piss all the time and stuff like that. But Bomber, man, oh, nuts, and he's mad with his big voice and all that. You know what I mean? Talks outside his mouth and that.
Aye.
he was mental. Crazy. Him and Girani. Aye, him and Girani. Girani was a wee bit more mellowed out. But Bomber, man, just a screamer. Just, oh, just aggressive and all that. And you're sitting there, a wee guy. But I remember I get called down and I get put on. It was against St Mirren. And he's like, right, go on, son, shows what you can do. Any worries. And I was up against, is it Andy Millen? He used to play for St Mirren, the old set of horse
boys.
Aye. I don't know who he was partnered with. So I'm thinking to myself, running on that, I think I'm fucking no bad and all that, like playing well and that. And I just get the piss taken out. There was a part where Andy Millen, the other set of horse, were heedering it, teacher, air my heed. And I'm chasing it about like a wee guy, man. The rest of that, I knew I wasn't ready for reserve football at that point. Just about the under 17s, but no, as I say, Murray Park, what a facility
it
is, man. Unreal.
Like, I'm having a wee look at my notes here, Kyle, and I've got it says Moshney. Stephen and Grado have asked me to ask you about Moshney. Now, tell us a story about that absolute crackpot.
Moshney, man. Oh, what a guy. Like, first day he comes in and trial. We're going, what position is that? I play centre back, right mid, or sometimes striker. No one be a lie, right? That's what you see in front of all the boys. All the boys are looking at each other and going, what? And so I knew a boy down south that played, I can't remember what it was, but I phoned him and he was like, no, he's being serious. He does play right mid, or on the wing, centre back, or sometimes he'll just go up front. But he'll not go up front because the manager's told him. He says it, he'll just, when he was down south, he'd just go up front. He'd just go. He'd just set a horse shite, and he'd just go up front. He'd done it a few, I don't know if you'd realise, but he'd done it a few times when he was at Rangers, isn't
that? He'd done it against Albion Rovers, didn't he?
He'd just go, and coisted bit the side, not like, going after, he's not like shouting when he get back, not. And honestly, he'd just blah, dinging him, just up front. He's decided, man, nutter. What, honestly, crazy, man. And just the stories you'd hear him about down south, and he was trying to break into a change room and stab somebody with a pair of scissors and all that. Well, you know, right. Mad stories coming out of
him. We had, who did we have on, man, that was saying, we had somebody on before and quite a hard, who was it, man? Was it Derek Lyle? And Derek Lyle says, Derek Lyle, where at that, like, how Queen of South and Rangers had some games against each other, like Queen of South really ran us close quite a few times. And he was talking about this shit and that, you know, who'd like to have a go at it. And we said Morstein, he's like, ah, fuck no, man.
Aye.
So that when he couldn't hear him.
Mate, nicest guy ever, but mind you.
Aye.
Like every morning come in, they'd go around everybody, ask them how they were, and they'd shake everybody's hand. And like, nicest guy ever, but just when he picked, it would just be a mad switch. And you'd see some things in his eyes, he'd be like, he's going to go, man, he's going to go. He just picks people up in a game sometimes, like see like strikers are annoying him and that. He just like throw on next to me, just like pick them up and haunt them. And the strikers would be like fighting to get away, and they'd be up after a grunt, they'd just be haunting them.
That's what Grado does with me on stage when we're doing panel.
What?
That's what Grado does with me on stage when we're doing panel, and he can't remember his lights.
Aye, big
monster.
And then obviously, you see it all with the
mother. Kyle, was you there with the Ciarán with Sandaza getting noised up on the phone about getting a move away? Were you part of the dressing room then? Was that a bit kind of awkward or whatever? What happened there?
It was, but he didn't really come back in to train really after it, sort of thing.
Was it a matter of just him getting a phone call going, ah, look, we'll come back?
Look, pal, you've had one. You're an absolute stinker.
But,
so I get done behind the scenes, like away from everybody. Like, we all knew, we obviously was getting banned about and all that, so we knew, we were like,
if you go,
I'm whispering it and I'm thinking, ah, oh, Jesus Christ, what's it done here?
No, I might know. See how when stuff like that happens, right? See when stuff like that happens, are you just knowing like WhatsApp group chats or anything like that?
I know it was a couple of years ago now, but did that ever happen? Something maybe happened and you're in the group chats going, what the fuck is this?
Aye.
That's amazing. Tell us about that. I want to know about that.
But Fran left, and then...
Then he left WhatsApp, not Fran Sandaza has left the group. Did that happen with players but Lee and Rangers?
Aye.
I don't know why I find that so interesting. Do you know?
No, mate, I get it. Because I would maybe be like, I don't know, if you've had like a season or two with somebody and then he gets a contract and just leaves the group, I'd be quite sad phoning them going, you didn't need to leave, mate. You can just leave the group chat.
All that kind of awkward, mate, we're going to need to chuck you a script.
Stevie, is Grado still in the River City group chat?
Hey, mate, you can't get these all a bad name without getting caught. Like, you need to leave, pal.
Did he end up the top scorer in Spain's second division the next season or something?
Aye, something like
that. At least somebody understaffed. But see, when he came in, right? Like, obviously, Toisty loved him. Toisty was like, oh, brilliant. Now I've got Fran in there. First, he can't kick the ball right. I'm more like, we'd always, like, if I'm being passionate, like, just ping it out, but he couldn't ping it. He couldn't hit it with his laces. And then, I don't know what it was, just never, I don't know if he could, but it just never hit his laces, or it just did like a wee sort of curly toe floaty thing all the time. Just a wee bit of going, what is he?
Ali's like, brilliant, Fran! Fucking brilliant!
We've got Fran!
What was, like, McCoy's like, man, like, keeping all that together? What was it? Was he brilliant?
Aye, it was good. Just like banter. Him and Kenny McDowell at the time, coach, and then Durante. So Durante, what a job Durante had. Durante's job was to have banter.
But you need that. I think that's brilliant.
Aye, definitely, man.
That is. And you need that as well. You definitely need that. So Durante be there. But I've worked with Durante for years now, obviously, to make them banter that way. I mean, that's especially, man. You see, all just going about and just having banter with the boys and some of these pals. Immense, man.
Aye.
It's probably these part as well. Just see the three of them just bouncing off each other. Brilliant. It was brilliant, man. Coy used to be joining as well at times, call himself the Rhino. Maybe I'll be like, the Rhino's on the day, boys, and all that. Mate, no wonder he's called the Rhino, mate. People would bounce off him, man. He's solid.
Aye, he's solid. I've played a couple of charity games with him, man. You can't. I've played a few charity games with him, and he's like rock solid.
Do you know what he has as well? He's still got a deceptive turn of pace. See, when he played in that charity game, he fucking ran away from the defenders that day. I don't know.
Aye, but it's why the defenders know Bob Malcolm, man. see, before that, Kyle, like, did you ever, like, talking earlier on about Bomber being, like, mental on the touchline, that, like, before Walter left, did you ever see Walter really fucking losing his shit in the dressing room or whatever?
See, not a lot, to be honest with you. He lost it once at Greensy. I can't remember. Celtic beat us anyway. Can't remember. But I was on the bench and I was just sort of young as well, young boy. And him and Beats, it was when Beatty was up. James Beatty,
aye.
So they two get caught being out of Corinthian to Loyals. I think it was maybe... I think it was maybe three or four days maybe before the game or something. Mm-hmm. And Walter Smith signed everything it. And he found it out. They two were out. And so after he made beaten, he went right through Greasy. I ain't got a fucking big man, all that stuff, gun night suit and all that stuff, living the big life, and you fucking perform like that. So that's the only one time I've really seen him lose it, obviously with that. But other than that, see that time, the team he had in that, I don't really think he
had any reason to really lose it.
Sometimes to lose it, nah, because I get asked that question, do you ever see him losing it? Nah, he'd like laugh as well, like he's like, Dubai fucking come off. Dubai fucking come off. And laugh is like, aye, just take me off, gaffer. And he's like, no, I'm fucking kidding you on, get fucking back out there, I'm fucking do better that thing off. Yeah, I was laughing at it. He said, why don't you fucking take me off? And laugh was like, aye, gaffer, aye, I didn't play well, just take me off. And the gaffer said, no, fucking, get the fucking saying off that. So laugh would just wind him up, he'd get bound up with laugh, but as gone off, he said, nah, never really seen that.
Do you want to fucking come off laughing? Hi.
I'm not even high, I had a stink on here and I was going.
Hell is this one, Kyle, right? It would be remiss of us not to mention a certain kidnapping event in Edinburgh.
Fucking hell, man. Oh.
What the fuck happened?
Just fucking.
I thought you were going to just go, Anna, mate, we just fucking got kidnapped, man.
Usually,
oh, man.
Usual, Anna, just kidnapped
that. Usual, mate, you've been to Nigri, man, you just get fucking...
No, well, me and Cal, we're flew in Edinburgh for the day, and fucking driving back home, he's gone, stop at a chip here, right outside the, what's it called? Oh, no, I can't remember the centre, some centre near Midri, can't remember. So we pull in, obviously, he's jumped to go to chip, he came back in, and I was on my phone, and Cal starts going, oh, shut that door, lock that door. I'm like, what? And obviously, the door flies open and all that. Boy stood in there, geezer motor, 15 grand cash or something. He says, wow. I said, no, pal, you're all right. And that Cal's sitting there with the fish supper and that. He's got bolt you'd after or something. He says, I can't remember what he says to him, but started getting cheeky with him anyway. And I'm like, Cal. So I've tried to obviously go in the boy, close the door. He's not closing it. He's like, no, get out the motor and geezer motor. I'm going, mate, I'm not getting my motor and giving you my motor. I said, bolt. Next minute, boy runs here, gives my blade, sticks the blade in my face. Two of yous in the back. The other guy runs out the Cal's side, opens his. I'm like, look, mate, just take the car. Just fucking, you'll get out. Take it. Do what you want, mate. Don't want fucking anything to happen over a mall. Just take it. He's like, nah, in the back. So he's jumped in the back of me and Cal. So Cal's there. I'm there. And the boy's jumping in the middle with the blade. Obviously, just picture the two of you. I was just sort of sitting there. This guy's just sitting in the middle with a blade.
it fucking sounds horrific, but I don't know why we're laughing.
No, mate, it's horrific. I mean, you're looking at the window and that, you're like, what's happening here? Is this a ballot? Is this fucking Jeremy Beadle going to pop up? What's happening here, man? And
Jeremy Beadle.
So the other guy's jumped in the passenger seat, and then this wee guy, I said it before, the mate, drunkest guy ever, jumps in the driver's seat, didn't he? I'm thinking, what's happening here, man? This wee guy could hardly walk. I could see him walking on. He's went, boom, jumped in the driver's seat. And he can't get it into reverse because you need to push the gear stick down and push it across. He's putting it into first gear. And he's jolting forward into the car in front of him. I'm like, this guy's fucking, what's happening here, man? I'm like, mate, you need to push it down.
Telling him how to kidnap you.
He's gone, mate, you can do it. And he starts flying. I mean, like, boot down, flying through red lights, damn, like half buzzing, thinking, right, police are going to see this. Surely, this fucking motor being 70 and a 30, this guy's, like, fleeing about, and Cal's going, let me out, mate, let me out. He's going, off, mate, you shut it, and that, and Cal's going, mate, boy, just let us out. He said to the boy in the front, here, jump up to such and such and get that shooter, man. He's the man, that I'm. No chance, mate, I'm like, let us out, mate. He's going, mate, honestly, shut up. I'm like, hey, okay. So, Midday Golf Course, I think it was, drove us down a wee ditch, and I'm thinking, mate, Cal, in my head, I'm thinking, right, we need to do something here. Man.
Run,
fucking, just throw ourselves at and fight them or whatever. I don't know, man. But they got out, and they're like, here's your license. That was it, give me a license. You know where you stay. You say it to the police, we're coming through your door, we've got your address. So I'm like, hey, okay, nobody's that. So we gave him the thing, mate. Then that was it. Just throw away my motor, and then me and him will just stand in the middle of this Midri golf course.
And then fucking, Ant Beck walk out.
The worst part is you get done wading and abetting.
Mate, that's like absolutely fucking horrific, but that is horrible.
I know, that's your worst nightmare. Man.
Do you laugh at it now, no, or do you? No.
They drove away my motor, and me and Cal were just standing there. No word to lie, because we're that nervous. We just burst out laughing. We couldn't stop laughing. Honestly, man, it was either laugh or cry. I might have been crying as well, but I just remember the two of you, man. There was tears coming down, and we're just running through this Midri golf course laughing. And then Cal's power on that. He's like, hats, hats, hats. I think the names came back, and I'm like, aunt, looking, going, so it was dark, obviously. I'm like, Cal, it's a golf flag.
Oh, man.
But no, before we get out, payphone, phone the post came, picked us up, driving along the road, and we seen one of the boys, didn't we? And so obviously, well, ah, mate, that's fucking my boys there, and cows hanging out the window, shouting abuse, not at the boy. I arrested them, mate. I think the only two of them get done. The one in the passenger seat, they've never ever caught or whatever, but aye, man, just...
But Jack, yeah,
I was training the next day, wasn't I? So I had to go into training late because they kept us in the post station all night. I'm like, mate, I've got training tomorrow. Can I go in? I need to go into football. Can you take me in? And so they dropped me after training about 11 o'clock or something. The boys were out of training, so I had to go out and tell Walter Smith, didn't I? Why I was late.
Well, what was that? Why did you just punch fuck at them?
Well, man, he's like, where you been, son? Gaffer, you're not going to believe this. But kidnapped last night in Edinburgh. He's gone, you what? What? Fuck. He's gone. What? And I went.
He's like,
oh,
you were at the
fuck
fucking Corinthian, weren't you?
That fucking beats and Greeks in it. Led you astray, man. And I just went, you better. I went, get kidnapped. He went, fuck sake, you all right? I went, aye. He went, mate, go and get warmed up then. That was that, man. But I knew a few of the Hibs players at the time that played like sort of reserves and that. They knew the boys that had done it.
Aye.
And they were saying, look, they're no mental, but they're just daft. Says it'll be sounding on that, they're just daft boys and all that.
You don't get Big Bob Malcolm on them, no? Do you not get him in the case, no?
I know.
Big Bob and Barry.
Chasing them through the streets in an ice cream van.
It's funny, man. It's like, I'm not joking.
Bob, put the ringer on.
I know. There's been a few things, man, that have happened to me, and I'm like, I can't even phone Bob Malcolm, man. See if he can deal with us, man. Bob Malcolm will deal with us.
Kyle, like, how hard was it when you left Rangers then? Like, after all your time at Rangers and that, how hard was that when it came to an end?
It was hard, but I knew it was coming when McCall came in. When McCall came in, I knew my time was up. I had a feeling it was up, but when McCall came in, I just knew. So as soon as McCall came in, I think he was putting me in the stone and all that. So I knew it was then. So when it actually came to the final day, I was all right, to be fair, but I was still a bit emotional. Like, it ended with me walking out of Murray Park with all my stuff and a couple of black bin bags driving out of Murray Park, and that was me. Mm-hmm. That's last ever time.
Was it theme song for the end of The Incredible Hulk playing? One of the ones, like, do-do-do-do. That must be a fucking nightmare, but honestly.
Paul, what are you doing?
No, but yeah.
I'm just there, bam up. I'm just there, bam up.
But Kyle, I always see when I think of something like this, I always think, what? I wrestled in America, right? And I wrestled in the same dressing room as Jeff Hardy, Kurt Angle, all my heroes. And then I get released, right? The following week, I'm in fucking Beef Community Centre, right? Wrestling a guy called Crater or whatever. But I'm still happy that all that happened and I got to have all the amazing memories. Do you know what I mean?
That's me as well.
But do you know what I mean? But that's what it's all about, isn't it?
100%. Like, see all the daft stuff I've done when I was at Rangers that I shouldn't have done, all the other stuff, like
making up stories about getting kidnapped.
Oh, that's fine. Honestly, I had about 18 missed calls to the missus, and I'm like, ah, I get kidnapped last night. And she's like, get to fuck.
Oh, man.
She was linked to your Fitbit, and your heart rate was going through the roof. She thought you were up to something else.
Look at his heart rate, and he's in fucking Edinburgh and all. He's that fucking Naismith boy. You're up to the fucking.
I was kidnapped.
Somebody get that James Beattie on the phone.
Brilliant, man.
But mate, like Grado's saying, mate, you love the dream. Played for Rangers, team you support, you love the dream, mate. I mean,
you can't have any regrets, as Grado says, man. Like, all the stuff you've done, that you can look back on that for the rest of your life, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's obviously no panned out the way you hoped it would, but at the same time you've enjoyed yourself, do you know what I mean? That's what it's all about at the end of the day. Aye. Just enjoying yourself, man. You'll make stupid decisions that I've made a shitload of them, but as long as you enjoy yourself, do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Before we finish up, every week on Football Daft, we put our guests' Scottish football knowledge to the test with our 90-second football quiz. You up for it, my man?
Aye, this could be embarrassing, mate. I am.
Right. David Martindale is top with a score of 16. In joint second, we've got John Sutton and Chick Young with 15. Mark Wilson and Keith Lasley are third with 14. Other selected scores include Charlie Adam on 10, Gary Harkins on 9, Ross McCrory on 6. At the bottom, it's a tie between Peter Lovenkranz, Derek Johnston, Craig Levine and Mixu Patalainen on 3. And Grado's had his horn up because Barry for EastEnders was on the show. He's in there as well. I think he's on 5 or something.
4.
He's on 4. Is there anybody on that list you'd like to beat, Kyle?
Chico. Charlie Adam.
There we go, right. Charlie Adam. But you can't pass. You must give an answer. Even if you don't know, just fucking fling out any answer.
Right, it's Jordan. This comes out right. Right.
Here we go. Can I ask you questions today, lads?
Of course, mate.
Aye.
Right, okie doke. Right, John, are you getting 90 seconds on the clock?
I have indeed.
Here we go. 90 seconds start now. What's the name of Forfar Stadium?
Forfar, New Bank. Something like that, I can't remember.
Which Scottish side was Casper Schmeichel on loan with in 2007?
Falkirk.
What was the final aggregate score between Liverpool and Real Madrid in the Champions League semi-final?
3-1.
In what season did you win the League Cup with Rangers?
Oh, 2014.
Sammy Ratami is a mascot for which Championship team?
How many times I'll go for
Alba. Who is Celtic's current number 9?
Griffiths.
Who were the first team to pull out of the Super League?
And you?
How many goals did you score for Rangers?
2.
Who is the current Scottish Championship top goal scorer?
Mitch Magazine. Mm-hmm.
Which animal features on the Ross County Club crest?
Donkey.
Who's the current Clyde manager?
Daniel Lennon.
What was the first club you joined on loan?
Let's go with Partick Thistle.
Liverpool signed Mo Salah from which Italian club?
Oh, Roma.
How many under 19 caps did you get? We can accept an answer for you here.
Aye.
11.
That's brilliant, man. I just love that Ross County have got a donkey on their badge, man.
Right. I'll go through the wrong answers before I reveal your score, Kyle. Forfar Stadium, Station Park. 2010-2011 is when you won the League Cup with Rangers. Sammy Ratami is Dunfermline's mascot. Chelsea were the first to pull out the Super League. Liam Boyce is topping the charts in the Scottish Championship at the moment.
Charts with his new number one single.
The goal scoring chart.
Gucci!
Ross County's got a stag or a deer, I would accept it, on their club crest. And under 19 caps, you got 7, apparently.
7? Yeah. I knew
it,
wasn't it a lot?
But You've hit mid-table respectability there, Kyle. You got 7.
Well, sorry,
there.
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go, mate. Well done.
Kyle. I was worried there.
Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. What a laugh, mate.
Do you know,
honestly.
Do you know what, mate? I'm sorry for winding you up, but that's part of the fucking
deal. No, I love it.
All the best, man.
Football Daft. With G4 Claims. Find them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at G4 Claims Limited.
Kyle Hutton was probably one of my favourite guests so far. That story about the kidnap,
aye,
that's a belter.
Brilliant.
I'll tell you something. I don't know how many times through the journey of Rangers coming back, I said to my mates, Kyle Hutton is going to be our main centre mid for years to come. And I think you can see when he talks, he's kind of. He has some regrets he's selling, I think, had really bad injuries, but I think he was a right good player, Grado. Do you remember it?
No, 100%. He was
a good player.
As I say, obviously, talking about playing in the Champions League, you were thinking he was the next Barry.
Definitely, mate.
But he seems a guy, man. He's happy in what he does. As I say, he's got the memories. Just a down-to-earth boy, up for coming on and having a wee laugh. Isn't that all we ask for?
Next week, I will see you. Well, we'll see you before then, Gredo, for Rangers Daft.
See you. We'll see you probably start next week. And if there is people listening to the show and you want extra content, get yourself signed up to our Patreon, because we've done a wee thing there with Kyle Hutton there. It was a good laugh. We get some good stories sometimes because we record a wee kind of separate interview. So if you want to get some more Patreon bonus footage, or you want to listen to Rangers or Celtic Daft, get yourself to the Patreon. What's the website again, John?
Patreon.com/footballdaft.
We'd really, really appreciate it,
You can also get us on social media through Twitter at Football Daft Pod, Football Daft Podcast on Instagram, and just search for Football Daft on Facebook.
Yes, because really with the Patreon, man, every penny counts, because Gredo's skint after paying for a couple of guests. So, cheers, guys.
Listen, if enough of you sign up for the Patreon, we could maybe get Mbappe.
Audio Frontier.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.